Welcome to season 3 of the Semi-Americans podcast. We are joined today by a special guest. We have Bree here joining us from California. Bree, welcome to the Semi-Americans podcast. Bree is a good friend of the podcast and even played a big hand in helping us design the first cover art and logo. She's based out of California and also runs her own podcast, the Bree Bree Podcast, where she talks about whatever Bree wants to talk about. We've never had a guest on with your ethnic background, so it's a truly unique variety of cultures. You have Mexican, Puerto Rican, and Chumash Native American roots, and we're excited to get into conversation with you since there's always a lot to learn about other cultures and traditions. Bree, welcome.
Thank y'all. Hey y'all, it's your girl Bree. I'm so excited to be here. I've been dying to get on this podcast for forever.
Well, we had to get the timing right. I know we wanted to do this the right way, and with your season of the podcast also going, so everybody can make sure to go check that out. Available on all platforms, right? Spotify. You're also doing YouTube, yeah. Apple Podcasts too, right?
Yes, I believe so. Yeah, me and my team.
Everywhere. Cool. Well, welcome, Bree. As we most often do, we have to ask the question, do you, Bree, feel like a semi-American?
Oh my God, yeah. I feel like in the Pokemon evolution of semi-Americans, I am the Charizard. I think that's the final step. And then I think when you just get full on assimilated where you just don't even acknowledge, then you're like a mega Charizard. X or Y, take your poison, you know? But I'm for sure like the last level before you drop the semi part. And you're just full American.
Why would you consider yourself, I guess, such a advanced stage of Pokemon evolution?
So my ethnic background, like you said, is like complicated, but not complicated. So I'll start off with my dad's side of the family. My dad is Puerto Rican, but they're from New York. Like if you ask them, they're like, we're from New York. Like they're not going to say Puerto Rico because they're not from there. I remember I hesitate to even say that because like that is like my, you know, ancestor DNA if it's to be believed. But I didn't grow up with that culture. Like, I don't really know any of the food. I don't know any of, like, the music. I don't know anything about it, which is, like, really ironic because it's, like, so popular. Especially Bad Bunny now. Shout out Bad Bunny. Like, everyone, like, knows so much about Puerto Rican culture. Like, it would be easy for me to learn about it. I just didn't grow up with it. I remember asking them, my grandparents, like, you don't teach me anything about being Puerto Rican. And they're like, well, we have pizza and there's J-Lo. What else is there to know? I said, okay. So, you know, New York is in America. Last time I checked, so it was Puerto Rico technically, but let's not get into that. And then Mexican and, well, Native American, obviously, like, you know, California. And then my Mexican side, my last ancestor to come from Mexico was my great-grandfather. And then my great-grandmother was, so you remember, like, in history, that like Texas was a part of Mexico that one time. That's a part of Mexico they're from when it was Texas.
You mentioned that you're in the mountainous region of California. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm right on like, I'm not in the mountains, but I'm right before the mountains start. Like if you have a gauge of LA, when you're driving from LA to Vegas, you would pass by my town. I'm in the IE, shout out IE people. I just moved here in 2020, so shout out.
Okay, got it. I just wanted to get a little bit of geographical relation in terms of like, you know, where you're currently at and how your family ended up in that area or even yourself.
Yeah, so I would say my family ended up here because we never left. So my, you know, Chumash Native American, for those not familiar, are from around the Catalina Island area, the Calabasas area, the Santa Barbara area. I believe in Calabasas is from a Chumash word or there's some other stuff. You know, that's my ancestry. I didn't like grow up in the culture, so I don't want to fake the funk, y'all. I'm just going to say, you know, that my maternal grandfather's side, like, they're just from California. I'm actually related to the real life Zorro. He was a real guy. He did like kill a lot of Spanish colonizers. So shout out to him. So we were all... The movie is really good, but I think it's a little more bloodier than that. But yeah, I am related to him. And we're just all like from California or Texas. So, and I think that's the only reason why I say semi-American, because I think people forget people. I actively, as an active choice in my language, try to disassociate whiteness from Americanness, because that's just not historically correct or factually correct, even though colloquially most people say, oh, are you American? Meaning, are you a white American? Which is not true or original or what actually built the foundation of the United States today. So I actively try to separate that in my everyday language. And I like to piss people off. It just doesn't seem funny to me. They're like, wait, what? You're like not Anglo, I don't think. Anglos don't have pink hair. Wait for them to do. You know, like I try to mess with them a little bit.
Is there a certain part of your 23andMe, your identity or your ethnicity that you most identify with?
I think I identify mainly with like Chicana culture, which I think a lot of your listeners are from the East Coast and not necessarily the West Coast. But that is really, it started in, I believe, the 60s as a political, cultural movement of Mexican Americans. Like this whole, like, feeling semi-Americans, like, you know, Mexican Americans have had a name for, we made an own name for ourselves, their own culture, own music, our own type. Because if you go to, I mean, even today, people in Mexico are like, y'all ain't Mexicans, you guys are American, it doesn't matter. And that's true, I'm not Mexican, I didn't grow up there, I grew up from the States. But there is a distinct culture, its own distinct history. And I'm proud of that, and I'm more familiar with that. I grew up more around that.
And what about the language, Bree? Are you, remind me again, you're fluent in Spanish?
No, I'm not even fluent in English. Like, I don't know what that
is. Hey, neither am I. It's okay.
I don't even know what a participle is. Do you know what a participle is?
Nah, we've forgotten all about that stuff right now.
No, so that's the whole thing. I guess I would say I'm no sabo, but not even really. So I don't speak Spanish, but surprisingly, my parents don't either. That's why I say I'm second generation no sabo kid.
That's funny. I just found out about that term recently, talking to one of my El Salvadorian friends. He mentioned no sabo as like, that's a term that, that they call like, you know, people that speak Spanish that are like, you know, like Hispanic, people that were, that grew up in America, no sabo kids.
Yeah, it's a derogatory term, but I think I think we're claiming it back, and I love that for us. So it's so funny, like growing up, I think I have a different story, because it's not like, oh, my parents knew it and I didn't want to learn it, or my parents specifically didn't teach me. Both my parents are, you know, Latino, are Latino origin, and they didn't grow up speaking Spanish. And I think they've never really kind of talked about it, but I think their grandparents came from a time where you don't teach your kids Spanish. You don't want your kids to have an accent. You don't want your kids to have the disadvantage in the United States. They already look a different way, and people will treat them differently because of that. And it was so, like, I think it's also different too, because my parents always wanted to learn. I remember at different times in my life, both my mom and my dad would, they would buy books, they would buy like CDs, they would buy cassettes, they would take classes. Like they really tried. They weren't one of the people who were like, oh, I don't want to learn, I'm too good. That was never the case. But, you know, I think, I don't know if it's the same for y'all community, for y'all version of no sabo kid. I don't even know how you would say, you know, no sabo. Yeah.
For me, it would be like a Twinkie, for example, you know?
Oh, that's what they call it.
Oh, yeah, that's not my version of it.
Yeah, I don't know about them Twinkies, but my parents both wanted to, but it's very, I don't know if y'all Twinkies get judged, but like you get really judged if you don't know it. They're hostile to you. They're not nice to you.
Yeah, there's a different side to me for sure.
And I just learned this too. Shout out Locatora podcast, another podcast that I know. they did a whole episode about Nosavo kids, and I didn't know, I think it was in the 70s and the 80s, but there was basically schools in Bakersfield, California, all throughout California and Texas, where they would have these Latino kids, and the teachers would use corporal punishment if they spoke Spanish. They literally would beat the Spanish out of these kids. In the 70s, like, that wasn't that long ago. So there's a whole generation of Latino Americans, because we've always been here, never left, that were like beat out of speaking the language. And then now those, you know, kids and their kids of kids are kind of being shamed for it. So it's kind of funny how life works that way.
For sure. For sure. I guess, like, you know, covering your background, your ethnicity, and kind of what it means to be semi-American for you. What gave you the inspiration behind starting your own podcast, the Rebreed podcast, by the way, and, you know, covering the topics and themes that you do talk about on your podcast?
I can never shut that bleep up. And I was like, might as well just make a dang old podcast. And I don't know if you guys have seen, like, the alpha male sphere of, like, these just saying the most ignorant stuff. And I'm like, I can say some really ignorant stuff too. Like, women can do it as well. So that's why I named it the Bree podcast, because it sounds so stupid when you say it. Like, I've been to parties with, I don't want to sound like I'm that cool, but like with like people actually in like media industry, they're like, oh, you're doing a podcast? What is it called? And I'm like, Bree podcast. And they're like, oh. They're like, I'm like, what are you talking about? And I was like, I named it that because I want to talk about whatever I wanted to talk about. And they're like, okay.
That makes it easy, right?
It makes it so easy. The theme is no theme.
What are some of your most memorable moments, Bree, like from the podcast or interviews? Because I know you have a lot of guests come on, especially with the newest season. I'm still, I think, one or two episodes behind, but you're really pulling in guests from various backgrounds. So what are some of the like most memorable or something that was like really surprising that you learned from a guest?
Well, I will talk about an upcoming episode. Speaking of like semi-American and how we identify and stuff, we have an upcoming episode with a like budding fashion historian, right? And she was talking about, and I didn't know this, are you guys familiar with the colonizer like caste system, where they would have us like mestizo was like if you were half Spaniard, Native American. They have, it was so detailed, like if you were a quarter Native American and one toenail, that guy over there, they had a name for it. Like, it was very, very detailed. I understood that, but I did not understand that during that time, during the I think it was, what was it called? Obviously, I'm not the historian. You'll have to listen to the episode when it comes out. But basically, there was a lady who, like, she looked very white passing in a painting. And then my guest was saying, you see, that she was told that that red scarf she was wearing meant that she had African ancestry. And I was like, wait, what? That a lot of the clothes they would wear would signify their ancestry walking around town. And I just, I didn't really think about how detailed that is. Like, if, oh, I see that lady in the red scarf. Scarf over there, she's got some African ancestry, that they would be so detailed in their clothing of what their lineage was and how they should be treated when they were out in the colonized land. I think that's so fascinating and so crazy, and especially when you think about like Latino culture today, especially, it's like you need to dress a certain way or always look put together and not look like a ragamuffin. And I always thought it's like, oh, we're just trying to be fancy. Like, no, it comes from these times where, determined by our caste system, we had to dress a certain way to be treated a certain way. So I think that's really fascinating.
Interesting. Interesting. Interesting to see how like the historical significance still has a impact. Yeah, exactly. An impact on how we live our lives today. Right. And speaking of, like, have you experienced any of those like cultural conflicts or instances of like identity negotiation or identity what is it like identity conflict within your life?
Oh, like all the time. I think in my older years now I finally have they have words for it now. Like, no sabo kid didn't exist. Like, even though it's derogatory, like, at least there's a big group of people saying, you know what, I'm no sabo. You know, that's just how it's going to be. That's just it.
You know? Kind of embrace it, you know? That,
Basically. And then even, like, learning about, like, the Chicano movement. Like, yeah, I've always felt this way. But then when you really learn how far it's gone and how many people have had the same thoughts as you and the same identity crisis, like, nothing is new. Like, especially with Latinos in the United States. But I think what really comes for me is my own, like, in my personal family. And I think it's crazy. I don't know. So this is what's going to be the end goal. This is why I'm on the Charizard, right? Out of all my immediate cousins and family and siblings, I only have half siblings. I'm the only one that has two Latino parents. I am legend, right? Like, and I just, like, think about in your own family, all the people you know, all your cousins, all whatever. Can you imagine that you were the last one that had both the parents matching set? It's kind of crazy to think about it. And when, especially when I talk to other, like, Latino, Latin A, Latinx, all the letters, they're like, that's kind of crazy to think about.
On the flip side of that, though, Bree, can you share any experiences where you did have a moment, like a strong moment of connection or cultural pride with your heritage, whether that was, you know, the Mexican side, the Puerto Rican, or the Native American side?
Take your time.
Like, we're putting you on the spot.
Exactly.
Well, I will say on my Puerto Rican side, I'm not ashamed of it, but I think it's a very, like, if you know any Puerto Ricans, you're going to know it because they're going to tell you immediately. Like, it's a joke. I come from the rarest, like, you don't know Puerto Rican people, right?
I barely know any.
Daniel was in Puerto Rico.
Well, I was in Puerto Rico, but, like, in terms of, like, my daily life and, like, people that I know, I actually don't know that.
There aren't that many in the D.C. area.
I know a lot of Dominicans. I know a lot of Dominicans.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, Ethiopians.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we haven't come across a lot of people from Puerto Rico.
Not in, like, the DMV. Yeah.
Well, me neither. So I guess instead of, you said prideful, but I feel like ashamed that I just don't know more about it. And I feel awkward at this point in my life. Because, and even I'll get to the point where I tell my friends, I'm like, hey, if they know, if I, like, get introduced to a mutual friend who's Puerto Rican. And I tell them, hey, by the way, whatever you do, don't mention I'm half Puerto Rican to them. And they're like, why? I'm like, because I don't know anything about them and they're going to treat me weird and it's going to be a thing. And because they're so proud of their culture and I feel bad that I don't have that sense of pride. I feel really bad. It's not like I'm ashamed that I don't know it. I'm ashamed that I'm not close to it. And I feel like I try, but I feel like I tried when I was younger, but now it's like, it's not like it's a far off culture that, like, doesn't have any people today. Like, I could easily Google it. Like I said, Bad Bunny is the most popular artist in the world right now. Like, if I wanted to learn about it, I could, but I don't, because I feel weird about it. And I feel, and I want to be honest, and I could bring it up if it makes sense. But if I know someone else is Puerto Rican, I shut up about it. I'll say nothing. And that's saying something. But as for my other sides, like, I guess I can't really pick a moment to be proud per se, because it's who I am. Right. And I think, I feel like I am who I am. And I think I'm in this part with my culture, especially when you're a semi-American to this level. I am a no sabo kid. Your people are a lot of your biggest haters are going to be your own people at the end of the day. And it sucks, but I'm at this point where I'm so defiant. I'm like, either way, whether you hate me, say you take away my card or whatever, I'm a part of y'all. And that's what it's going to be for all the highs and lows. So that's why I try to think about it as pride, because I hate it. I personally hate it when, like, someone, like a Latino person, does something problematic, right? And then on Twitter, like, oh, he's not a real one of us, or like, they're not a real one, she's not a real one. I'm like, no, they are a real one. You need to accept all the bad people and all the toxic parts of your culture, along with the good, along with all the food, along with all the songs, all the things you love. You need to accept the machismo. You need to accept all the sexism. You need to accept all the racism along with it. So I guess I am proud. I am who I am. I'm not going to deny it. But I think there's a lot of work in my culture to undo a lot of, like, the toxicity about it.
Speaking of, what do you think are some like misconceptions or stereotypes about second generation Latinos or Chicanas? And how do you think they could be addressed or overcome?
Especially coming from our own people, and I guess it could apply to all the semi-American people, is that I think psychologically that children of immigrants feel like they need to put on that, like, listen, I might not be bored in my family's home country, but I'm more cultural than this fool who doesn't even speak the language. Like, look at me, like, I am way more cultured. But when they go back to their home country, guess what? They're the American one. They're the white one. I think it's like a pissing contest because, you know, hurt people. And I think as we're doing, like, at the generational level, that's happened for forever in the United States because we're just, like, so complicated with our identity here. You know, that's just how it is here. It's just how it is. So I think the stereotype is that it's not going to happen to you, that your kids, like, oh, my kids are going to speak Spanish. I don't care if I have a white girl from freaking Scandinavia. They're going to speak it. Okay, really? You think that's going to happen? I would love to see that. Thank you. Please see how easy it is. Like, listen, I'm your future. If you continue to be United States, especially if you have children that are not your culture, you're going to get a little pink-haired monster like me. So I'm just waiting for your karma. I think they think I'm, like, not the future. I am the future. I am the Charizard.
Kind of going back to the earlier question about language, Bree, do you feel like if you spoke Spanish, that your experience would have been, like, significantly more different? Perhaps, like, in a negative or a positive way? Because, I mean, someone could say, oh, you speak the language with an accent, or you don't, you know, speak it well enough. How much of a role do you think it plays?
That, like, even if I did speak it, someone's going to say you have an accent or you're a happy. I mean, I used to get beat up in school for not speaking Spanish, and I'm not the only person with that story. People say, oh, you think you're better than me, or, like, try to fight. And, you know, in California, outside of LA and San Francisco, it is really not that diverse, especially considering Latino people. Like, it's like white people, black people, Mexicans. That's it. I think I, like, grew up with one, like, Salvadorian kid I ever met. And there's the most Salvadorians outside of El Salvador in LA, because I didn't grow up in the rest of California. So it is, like, not very diverse. So there would be people there like, oh, you're from this part of Mexico? We don't bump with y'all. Oh, y'all from that part of Mexico? We don't bump with y'all. Oh, you are half? No. You know, you're first gen? No. So it was very divided. When there's, like, more diversity, usually they, like, loosen up the gatekeeping. I'd, like, find that to be the case. With not just Latino people, with a lot of, I don't know, shout out to you guys. So that happens with you guys. If there's, like, more adversaries, y'all will link up. But then if there's just you guys, like, okay, no. If you're from that town. So I think it would have helped me a lot for sure. Cause that's just, I don't know why that's the linchpin of your, like, Latino-ness in the United States. But at the end of the day, I wouldn't have the accent of living in a Spanish-speaking dominant country, because I didn't. I can't go back. No amount of Spanish I could ever learn will ever change my birth certificate. You know? And sure. I have to accept, I don't identify, because some people say, like, oh, I'm 100% this and 100% that. I'm like, well, that is not me. I am from America, and you only don't say that because you associate American with whiteness, which is not the case. That's just not how it happened.
And, you know, honestly, like, listening to how you grew up and, you know, the area that you're from, right, you know, within the United States, I'm sure there's, you know, thousands, hundreds of other individuals, kids that grew up similar, feeling the same feelings in similar situation that you did, right? It's just that, you know, they might not have had, like, the platform or the voice to really tell their story, right? So, you know, we really appreciate you probably being one of the most brutally honest guests on this podcast, and really kind of putting yourself out there, as well as, you know, your experiences and your story.
Yeah. Yeah. Bree, have you traveled or had experiences traveling to other countries where you've been exposed to the cultures that you come from?
No, but let me tell you, I only have one. Okay. first story. I have literally not traveled anywhere outside the United States except for Cancun one time. And let me tell you. So like as I mentioned, both my parents, after they got divorced, they married Anglo-American white people. So Anglos. You understand what I'm saying? White people. I just want to be very specific. I want to say Anglo-American if you, you know, get Google out. Anyway, so I was 8 years old, and this was before 9/11. You remember before 9/11, you didn't need a passport to travel to Mexico or Canada, right? Mm-hmm. So my dad and like my half-siblings and my cousins and all my half-cousins and some of my siblings too, they're like, they're all half Anglo and half something else pretty much, but they present a little more on the fairer side than I do. And I don't even think I am that brownie crispity, but you know, we were in Cancun for a week. I was outside the whole time. I'm an 8-year-old child. So going back from Cancun, we're going through TSA. So like my dad goes, my stepmom, my siblings, my cousin, and they get to me and they're like, hold up, beep, beep, hold up. One of these things is not like the other. And I was like, wait, what? And so they thought they were stealing me from Mexico. I don't even speak Spanish. And of course, I didn't have an ID. I'm 8 years old. This is before 9/11. So they have to like call my mom, like fax over my birth certificate and show that I'm a citizen, which like shout out to the Mexican TSA for like making sure they're not child trafficking. But also I'm like, wait, I'm not divorced.
Wow.
Wait a minute.
That's the only time that you've actually traveled outside of the country then?
That's the only time.
Plan to travel outside of the country now, or now that you, I mean, it sounds like you're feeling more comfortable in your own skin, right? And you're kind of coming to terms with, you know, this is my heritage and, you know, I'm making the best of it that I can.
I am an American first and foremost, and like, I'm very comfortable in that. I finally got my passport. That was a whole thing. I was like, let me leave. I had to send in like 7 different forms of ID, like pictures of myself. And I'm like, I thought this was supposed to be easy. I thought y'all keeping people out, not letting people leave. Like I just, it was a monster and a half to get a passport, but I finally got one and I don't have any plans to go anywhere. So, I mean, I guess I traveled to like, I mean, I've been to San Antonio, Texas. I've been to like the parts in California where the Chumash live. Shout out to them. I haven't been to the casino yet. So shout out to the casino. But maybe I'll go there.
Mm-hmm.
But
so I guess in terms of the Bree Bree podcast, right, bringing it back to your podcast, could you give us the future of your podcast, any initiatives or goals that you may want to be working towards with that, or any future guests that we might expect on your podcast?
I have some episodes in the can that I need to edit. Shout out Future Bree Bree. They should be already up by now by the time this comes out. So I'm bullying myself into doing that. But I had a interview with my girl, Daisy Lynn. Shout out to her. She's a rapper by night, hairdresser by day. And she's like lived all these crazy lives. Actually, I'm going to be in her video soon coming out. I'm excited to have her. And I think in the future, I would definitely like to be, you know, like in those alpha male podcasts where they have like all these like OnlyFans models around them and they don't really talk, but they have all have headphones and microphones just to like be there. I would like to have that, but with himbos, like just really like muscly men of all different varieties. Cause you know, I got to keep international. So Daniel, do you want to be the first himbo?
Hey, he has a non-compete in his contract. He's not allowed to go. He's not allowed to go to any other podcast.
Yeah, microphone and the headphones, but it's going to be on mute because they don't talk.
Yeah. No, not for. We have a variety of people listening, and they're kind of all over the map, including like, you know, parts of Europe, parts of South America, Central America. So, what would be like your message to kind of encapsulate what you think is most important about the whole semi-American experience?
For the world, I would say bonjour, guten tag, ni hao. That's the only ones I know on top of my head. So shout out to those respective countries. Anyways, what's important about being semi-American is that we exist and even if you are a foreign to the United States person and you come live here, you're more than likely going to have a semi-American experience. And that's okay. You have to accept it. And that's what makes it beautiful. And I think the overall thing is, if you think, especially, you know, outside the States, try to disassociate American and whiteness, because that's just not how it worked out. This country was, I mean, obviously Native Americans first, and it was built by Black people. It was built by Asian people. It was built by Latino people, both by blood, sweat, and tears and brain. So I don't know how that all associated with Anglos, but here we are. So just try to disassociate that. And I think the beautiful part of the United States is that we have every kind of culture here. So you'll be able to find home.
Well said.
I think that's super well said.
Yeah, well said, Bree. Well, this has been a fun episode. We've been joined by Bree. And this is season 3 of the Semi Americans podcast. Thank you for joining us on this episode. We'll make sure to continue to have great guests like Bree on. And thank you all for the support.
Yeah, and we'll have all of our information down below in the links to all of our podcasts and our social medias if you guys want to check her out.
Yeah, most definitely.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you, Bree. Thank you.